Live.
Uncensored.
Radio Free America. Another exciting, informative hour is warming up. Rick Adams is on fire.
Okay, we're back now, hour number two, and caller, you're still there, Patrick, right?
Yes,
okay,
I'm still here.
Okay.
Let me just clarify this real quick.
Sure,
Gene,
sure.
What is your position on Revelation verse 13:7?
13:7?
Verse 7 and 8.
Let me say this, that the animal symbols, the lion represented Babylon, the bear represented Media Persia. This is in the book of Daniel. And the leopard represented Greece, the ancient kingdom of Greece. Now, when Rome came into power, they took over all of these lands. They took over the lion of Babylon. They took over the bear of Media Persia. They took over the leopard of Greece. So the Revelation 13, verse 2, says that this beast compromised all of these animals, which in Daniel represented Babylon, Media Persia, and Greece.
Yeah.
This is fulfilled in history totally. And completely. Now, verse 7, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints. Well, of course Rome made war with the Christians, did they not? And to overcome them. And they did for a while until Roman Emperor Constantine made what he called Christianity, the religion of the Roman Empire, which became Roman Catholicism. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. How many peoples did Rome take over? How many different languages that, and how many different peoples? They were all basically Caucasians, though, Israelites, but they were in different lands. They had different languages. They had different nations, you might say, yes.
We go into verse 8, and it says, all inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast.
Well, you see that word earth there is in context, again, with the word world of Revelation 3:10, which means the Roman Empire. We're talking about the land of the Roman Empire here. We're not talking about the entire planet Earth. Again, you're thinking about probably some one-man antichrist that's going to rule the world, and this is what Judaism wants to happen. Mm-hmm. They want one of their people to be this person, maybe a high priest of a temple they're going to build later. The Revelation 13 here, 8, is talking about the Roman Empire and later with Roman Catholicism ruling the Roman land area of Europe, Britain, and which did happen. Now, again, symbolically, America, North America, we have the Roman system of government. This can be traced right back to Babylon, ancient Babylon again, the Roman government. Political and religious system can be traced right back to ancient Babylon, as Revelation 17 says, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and Rome was one of her harlots. And now we're in, symbolism, you might say. We are under the Roman system. We're under the Roman legal system here, which is case law, created by Justinian in the 6th century. We have the Roman pagan sun worship. We observe the Roman festivals of the Saturnalia as Christmas and Easter, which is the pagan goddess of spring, as the resurrection day of Christ Jesus. Two examples of we have a calendar full of pagan Greek and Roman gods. In fact, two of the months coming up, July and August, were named after Julius Caesar. Whether the planets are named in our solar system after Greek and Roman gods.
Yeah.
We use a Roman calendar that was created by Julius Caesar.
I'm just trying to clarify Gene's position. He's just speaking generically, not to you.
If he's saying that 13 is fulfilled, the whole prophecy of chapter 13 is fulfilled then?
Well, I think it was fulfilled in the ancient Roman Empire, but again, we have the Roman Empire system here in modern-day time, too, so this could definitely be extended to today.
Okay. Patrick, thank you very much for your call. We got to move along. We'll be right back with Gene Smith.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the Task Force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Can man control his destiny? Can he change the shape of things to come?
All right. I think we know the answer to that question, and we're back now with Gene Smith, BibleTruthMan.com. Gene, let's go to Tim in Ohio is waiting. Hello, Tim.
Rick and
yes.
Mr. Smith.
Yes,
Mr.
Sir.
Smith, I believe that I didn't catch your, but I believe that's your name, right?
Yes,
Gene Smith.
Gene Smith, yeah, you
yes.
certainly are a Bible scholar. There's no question about it.
Well, thank
and you. And I am a pre-Vatican II Roman Catholic. Anyways, I just wanted to say that we haven't had a pope since Pius XII died in 58. But what I'm trying, what I was getting at is the Bible, the New Testament was put together. All the research and homework that I have done, the New Testament was put together by the Council of Carthage, by the Roman Catholic Church in the year 370. Now, am I correct on that? I'm pretty sure I'm correct because I did a lot of homework on it.
Well, let me say that the Bible was put together by the Christian churches established by the Apostle Paul, mainly in Asia Minor. They had Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the book of Acts. All of these books, all of these letters, we call them books, but they were letters. They were all written by the mid-60s A.D., by 65 A.D. The early Christian church originally had only the Law and the Prophets as the Bible, from Genesis to Malachi. Then, right after Christ Jesus ascended to heaven, we had Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John writing their Gospels. We had
right.
Of course, Luke writing the book of Acts after that. And then we had the letters of Paul, and of course we have 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. John wrote letters. These are all letters. They're epistles. They're letters.
Yeah.
We call them books today, but they actually were letters to these various
Christian
groups.
Yeah, you're correct. Yeah.
Now, the various Christian groups, had certain these letters from Paul, and the Apostle Peter said in his letters, 1st, 2nd Peter, I think it's 2nd Peter, he said that Paul was Scripture, that his letters were Scripture also, as the other Scriptures are.
Yeah.
He warned that the letters of Paul would be distorted, though, in which they have been, especially today. However, he did, Peter recognized the letters of Paul as Scripture, and this was before 65 A.D. So the Christian groups knew, even the Christian church at Rome knew, what was basically Scripture from what Peter had said. They knew that the Paul's writings were Scripture. They knew that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were Scripture. The book of Acts was Scripture. And what happened in the 4th century A.D. later was that Emperor Constantine wanted all of these. He wanted a Bible other than the Law and the Prophets to be put together. So Eusebius, the bishop, I think it was of Constantinople, put together. He went around and asked all these Christian groups that I've mentioned, "Hey, what do you consider Scripture?" And they showed him. He added two extra books, the Shepherd of Hermas and the Epistle of Barnabas, and later Athanasius, who was the Bishop of Alexandria.
Oh, yeah, he was a very good Roman Catholic.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if he was Roman Catholic at that time. Roman Catholicism had not really came into it. Roman Catholicism basically did not come into its own until Jerome in the late 4th century, writing the last
Book of the Bible. Yeah, St. Jerome.
Yeah, however, Athanasius, who was the bishop of Alexandria, and I don't consider the word bishop to be a hierarchy. It wasn't considered such back then, and I don't consider it such now as it is in Roman Catholicism and even denominationalism.
Well, he was the one that really went against this Arian heresy.
Yes, Arian heresy. He went against the Arian heresy, but he also threw out the books of the Shepherd of Hermas and the Epistle of Barnabas.
I've heard about them.
Now, he did that because he, again, got information from all these Christian groups as to what they considered Scripture, and they did not consider those two books, I guess you could call them, as Scripture. And, yes, this was done around 360 to 370 A.D., but it was not from Roman Catholicism. It wasn't from the Roman Catholic organization. It was from a Christian bishop who got his information, as Eusebius did, the bishop of Constantinople, from the Christian churches.
Right.
It was the Christian churches ever since the middle 1st century A.D., that knew what was Scripture. That
wasn't Constantine the one that stopped the slaughter of Christians?
Well, he did.
Especially
throughout the Roman Empire, yes.
Yeah.
But, then,
the Bible, I understand, was put together, especially the New Testament, the Council of Carthage, in the year 370.
No, not at all. The Christian churches of Asia Minor, especially in Rome, and Jerusalem and throughout that part of the world at that time that were being Christianized by Jesus' disciples and Paul and Barnabas and early to mid first century A.D., they put the Scriptures together that Eusebius and Athanasius just basically canonized. But these were already known as Scripture by the early Christian church by 65 A.D. It was a Christian church that put the Scripture of the New Testament together.
Yeah, the Christian church at that time, wasn't it Roman Catholic?
No, not at all. The first century, no. That was
not the first century. I was talking about later in the third and fourth centuries.
Well, Roman Catholicism was created basically, had its foundation with the Council of Nicaea in 325 A.D. when Constantine created the doctrines that became Roman Catholicism.
Well, you're correct on that, yes. Yes,
well,
there's no question about it.
Hey, it's good to hear your voice. Appreciate you calling in, Tim, and call again. It's first time.
Yeah, it's the first time I've called you,
Rick.
And,
we appreciate
I listen to you on and off, and you have your program is great. Let me tell you that.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, then.
Those are good questions.
Yeah.
All right. Excellent question. Very, very good. 1-800-313-9443 is our number, ladies and gentlemen. 800-313-9443 is the number. And also, want to mention, tomorrow night we are going to have Gary Brugman on the program, who, of course, as many of you know, is the Border Patrol agent who was railroaded by attorney Johnny Sutton. And for 2 years, he's going to be our guest tomorrow night. Fascinating show. And RBN, by the way, has made this move. We have a new address. I'm supposed to tell you about this, and I, unfortunately, because of all the calls and so much to talk about, we don't always have time to do it enough. But let me do it now. Our new address at Republic Broadcasting Network is 2251, that's 2251, Double Creek Boulevard. Double Creek Boulevard, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. All right, let's go to Leslie now in Virginia. Hello, Leslie.
Hi, Rick. Great Hi. Guest. And great show.
Thank you.
I bet your guest could answer this question because it's perplexed me for a little while.
Sure.
When we invaded Iraq, you know, most people, the first thing we secured was the oil fields. Everybody understands that. But the most important thing we secured was the National Museum. And in that National Museum, it had artifacts and religious documentations and things of this nature. But mm-hmm. the point being, we were told, and I personally don't believe this, and I want you to correct me, that the Iraqis burnt it down and everything was destroyed in it. I do not believe that for 1 second. I personally believe that they were taken to Rome. The artifacts.
Were taken where?
To Rome, the Vatican. That's what I believe.
All right. Gene, do you have any comment on that?
Well, yeah, they just let the people come in there and loot the museum. This
right.
is the early part of the war
yes.
in the spring of 2003.
Yeah, but my understanding is that we had our boys, the Central Intelligence, handle this one. And, I mean, whatever was in that museum was of great importance. And I was just wondering if you knew, Gene.
Well,
what was
they...
so important for them to, that was the number one site.
Well, this is going to be a little speculation on my part, but
I know
it's based on some facts.
Well, my speculation is that, that everything was, my speculation, I don't believe that what they're telling us, everything was destroyed. I don't believe that for 1 second. I don't believe that, Gene.
You well, think a lot of it was carted off, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I would agree with you.
You might find, I don't know if you'll find that anywhere. It was probably sold on the black market, maybe. It might end up in some nominal Jew-run museum. What I'm saying, though, is that at the before the Iraq War, there were extensive excavations being done, as has they were being done for a long time, at ancient Babylon.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
And a lot of those artifacts in that museum had to have come from that those excavations that had been going on for a long time. And I think there were some, probably there were some excavation, archaeological artifacts that were not, that the Israelites did not want to be brought out to the world.
That's correct. That's what I'm concerned about, Gene.
Yeah.
How they control information, so much information.
Mm.
And
yeah.
they're never held accountable. And I don't care who it is. The point being is that was the first most protected site by far was that National Museum. And where are those artifacts? And we don't have an answer. And I'm dissatisfied why we continue to put up with these unanswered questions, you know, by our government.
And what about the $20 billion that was looted right from the beginning from the bank accounts?
Yeah.
Correct. And
and where did that go? And how is George Bush doing these days? Hello?
With the Carlisle, with his conflicts of interest. The times we're living in, Gene, we just don't have accountability. I mean, today, if anybody had to look at our Congress in action, I mean, they, you know, it's a sight to be seen. This is the times we're living in, where information is the most, it's so valuable.
Did you have another question you want to hang on for, Leslie?
I'm concerned about that National Museum.
Okay.
And who has the artifact? Who's got it?
I'll comment on that a little bit more.
Okay,
after
Leslie, thank you. If you have any other questions, you can hang on, but we got to take a break right now. All right, Rick Adams, Gene Smith, my guest.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com or call 312-224-2710, 312-224-2710.
Raised a very good question, you know, about that area once again, Gene, and I know exactly what she's talking about, and I have heard, and I don't know how true it is or not, but I have heard that the United States government has been dealing with this, what is relatively a very secretive project as far as the rebuilding of this city of Babylon, where it stood thousands of years ago. Have you heard similar stories?
Yes, like I said, there were extensive excavations in ancient Babylon. It's been going on for a long time. The war stopped that. And these artifacts that had been taken from that ancient Babylon site for many years were some of the looted artifacts. I believe that, these artifacts could have given more credibility to the Bible. They could have been some archaeological artifacts that proves more about the Babylon captivity, the house of Judah, about Daniel. And also, you have to understand also that Daniel knew about the Assyrian captivity of the Israelites. He talked about the fact they were scattered, they were dispersed, even when he was in ancient Babylon in the 6th century B.C. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 7, he mentions these Israelites that had been scattered into all these different countries or lands. That was the Israelites of the Assyrian captivity. And Babylon had taken over ancient Assyria. And so we can conclude somewhat that there could have been some archaeological, historical evidence that, to prove that not all the Israelites went into the Babylon captivity.
Oh, right,
and
right.
Some information about the Israelites going maybe into West, either Eastern Europe and into Asia Minor from their Assyrian captors that occurred in 721 to 718 B.C., there could have been some artifacts that would definitely show that the ancient Israelites in Assyrian captivity did not go back to ancient Israel, as a lot of preachers say.
Do you remember the Dead Sea Scrolls that were discovered by the little Egyptian boy, I think it was, an Arab boy?
Yes.
You remember that?
Oh, yeah, 1947,
yeah.
His name was Mamouk or something like that. He had lost a sheep, and he threw a rock into a cave. Heard the
clanking. Wasn't that propitious, huh?
Yeah, he had heard the breaking of vessels, and they found the, what's called the Dead Sea Scrolls, which definitely prove that the books that we have in the Law and the Prophets are the Bible, except for the book of Esther. They didn't find the book of Esther.
That's what I was going to ask you about. Isn't that something, huh?
Yeah.
The Lord is speaking to us here directly.
No, I think so.
Yes, that's an interesting subject.
A lot of these archaeologists that are finding things, Rick, they might not even be Christian. They might be anti-Bible, but everything they find proves the Bible's true.
Isn't that ironic, huh?
Yes.
Isn't that? God works in mysterious ways, and he does have a sense of humor, doesn't he?
Yes.
All right. Let's take another call. Ann in California. Hello, Ann.
Hi, Rick. Hi, Mr. Smith.
Hi. Yes.
I'd like to bring up something that I never hear anybody talk about.
Okay.
And in the Bible, as you know, that in Ezekiel 18, God expresses to Satan how at the beginning, in the foundation of the world, how he had created him as being perfect. And he was the guardian of the mercy seat, which Jesus set the sit in.
The mercy seat.
And, right. And all throughout the Bible, and Jesus talks about it, he refers to Satan as the Antichrist. People get the misconception that the Antichrist is a person who lives on this planet and who is going to be an all-powerful king or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But in the Bible, where he refers to Satan as the Antichrist, if you look up the word Antichrist, it says expressly instead of Christ.
Right.
It doesn't mean, well, we all know that the book of Genesis and the book of Revelation are companion to one another. And in the beginning, the whole premise of Satan was that he wanted to sit in the mercy seat.
Yes.
And in Revelations, as a matter of fact, I believe it's 2:9 and 3:9, Jesus and God were pleased with those two churches because they were the only two churches that taught who the Kenites were. And we all know that the Kenites are the offspring of Cain. Well, also, we know that Satan is their father. And the Bible talks in 6:7 of Revelations about how a great star has fallen, and it's Satan himself who comes to this planet. Well, Rich, I don't want it to sound too scrambled, but I'm just trying to get you to get the picture here.
Yeah, no, what you're saying, I've talked about that before.
Okay.
Gene, go ahead, let Gene respond.
I'm not done yet. Okay.
Well, you can hang on because we have a break anyway. But Gene is going to just raise a response to what you said thus far. Okay.
Okay.
Well, in Ezekiel 28, the king of Tyre, Satan is compared. He was the real king of Tyre. There was a human kings of Tyre, but Satan was the ultimate king. Just like Satan has been the king of all these pagan civilizations listed in Daniel, from Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, Rome, that we've talked about. Satan is the king of what we call the world order. His children, he has literal children that run what we call the world order, which is now the eighth beast of Revelation 17, the international banking system created by the Rothschild family, who was of the lineage of Cain. The Hittites were the ancient descendants of the Cainites, though, and Esau married into their family and became the bad part of the Edomites.
Amalek as well.
Yeah, he also married Ishmael's daughter, and he also married in the lineage of the Arabs also. But
all right,
also,
hang on, both of you. Obviously, you stay where you are now, Ann. We'll be right back to give you a chance to come back with other information as well. Gene Smith is our guest, and we'll give you his number and his address as well when we return. Stay tuned for more Uncensored Radio Free America.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Hi, this is John Statler. I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103. And let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
All right, if you want to know the truth, I don't much care for the time I was born into. It seems people aren't dying fast enough these days. They call upon science to invent new, more efficient weapons to depopulate the earth.
All right, we are back, ladies and gentlemen, with a view of the future. And we still have, I believe it's Ann on the line. Is it Ann?
Yes,
it is Ann. I'm sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself here. And Ann, you heard what Gene just said.
Did you have
a response?
Yes, I do. I respectfully disagree with him on who the beast is in,
uh-huh.
in 18. So in Revelation, Jesus asks us,
uh-huh.
He who has wisdom, who understands the,
mm-hmm.
the number of the beast?
Right.
And in 18, it describes, it tells you who the number of the beast is, and it describes the number. If you add up all the total of who they're talking about there,
mm-hmm.
and then you know that war, and who can make war with the beast is 600, it adds up to 666.
Mm-hmm.
But it says that the eighth Satan, the number, the eighth, is of perdition, is going to perdition. Well, all through the Bible, there's only one entity that has already been condemned to perdition or to death, and that is Satan. There's no salvation for Satan. And Satan is the eighth beast. I mean, is what they're talking about there is the eighth beast. Also, I'd like to say that...
Well, let him respond to that now, because
okay.
That raises another perspective here.
Gene? Okay.
Well, the beast is described, like I said, the original beast of Revelation. John is the Roman Empire. It says very clearly in Revelation 17, verse 9 and 10, and here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth, and there are seven kings. Five are fallen, and one is. The one that was at the time of the writing of Revelation was Rome. And this goes back to the context of Revelation 13, where this beast took over this leopard and this lion and this bear. And in Daniel, you let the Bible interpret itself, those animals signified Babylon, Media Persia, and Greece. And those are exactly the areas, plus most of Europe and Britain, that Rome took over. And it said in verse 3 of Revelation 13 that I saw that one of his heads were wounded to death. That was the death of the Roman of the capital at Rome in 476 A.D. It was healed. Let me finish, please. It says it was healed. Now, it was healed by Justinian in 554 A.D. when his army recaptured Rome from the barbarians who were part of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So we see that prophecy is history. And you have to let the Bible interpret itself, like I say, and you have to match it with history. And unfortunately, most of these preachers don't know history. That's why they can't see the fulfillment of these prophecies.
All right. Okay, Ann?
In the book of Revelation, where there is a deadly wound, the deadly wound is to the beast.
Yeah.
The beast is the new, or is the one world mm-hmm. order. In Daniel 8:2, the he-goat stands on Medio, is in Medio Persia, and I can't recall the name of the city, but he's standing on just right there at that gulf, and there's two he-goats, and from the two he-goats comes a ram. And the ram utterly destroys the he-goats. That is your deadly wound. God says in the beginning of the Bible, I heal and I wound. And in Revelations, when they're talking about the deadly wound is to the head of the beast, which is the New World Order. Jesus, originally, the tribulation was to last 7 years, and Jesus shortened it. But he also shortened the time, if you'll read in Revelations, where he will be tormented for 5 months. Satan was originally supposed to be here for the whole tribulation, but for the elect's sake, God shortened the time, mm-hmm. or Jesus shortened the time. And so when at the end of the three, there is going to be a 3.5 year tribulation, but if you'll read in 6 and 7 of Revelation, it talks about Satan. There's a war in heaven. Heaven is rolled up like a scroll. That Satan comes to this earth. Heaven's rolled up like a scroll because everybody is worshiping Satan mm-hmm. to be instead of Christ. And Satan comes back, he heals the deadly wound, he knows he's got but a short time,
yeah.
he heals the
yeah.
deadly wound, and everybody is worshiping Satan. The whole Bible is about the war between God
yeah.
and Satan.
Right.
And
I know what you're saying, yeah, yeah. And Gene, I don't think you disagree with that, do you?
Well, not in principle, but
no.
She's oversimplifying the Bible. The Bible says, Genesis 3:15 says that Satan has seed. The Hebrew word for seed there is zera, and it means mm-hmm. literal children, just like the
yeah.
woman's seed.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
I'm very much aware of that.
Yep.
Hello?
Yeah, she's aware of that, she said. Yep.
I'm aware of that.
And the he-goat there in Daniel is definitely, any Bible scholarship will tell you the he-goat there was the kings of Grecia, and the he-goat was Alexander the Great. His horn was broken. And four horns came up for that. That was his four generals that took over the various parts of the known world at that time. And again, the beast of Revelation 13 had a deadly wound. That beast has to be the Roman Empire because it took over the area of the bear, the leopard, the lion, and Daniel mm-hmm. interprets that as being the ancient kingdoms of Babylon, Media, Persia, and Greece. You can't get around that's Babel interpretation. And you see, let me read this in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1. It says that the revelation was written to show things which must shortly come to pass. It's not talking about things that's going to begin 2,000 years later. Mm-hmm. It was talking about history from then to now, up to the time of Christ Jesus, mm-hmm. beginning at the time John wrote the revelation, which was around 95 A.D. So the prophecies of the book of Revelation, which must shortly come to pass, or begin to come to pass, as the Greek text says, has to begin in the early 2nd century A.D., which, of course, was dominated by the Roman Empire, the beast of Revelation 13. And a lot of Bible scholarship knows this, but a lot of people listening to preachers, they want to put the revelation into the future still, or into the 20th century, beginning in the 20th century. That violates verse 1 of Revelation 1. Which says that clearly that these things in the book of Revelation must shortly come to pass or mm-hmm. begin to come to pass.
Right.
So
okay,
that's
we really have to move along, but I'll give you a final word, Ann, okay?
Well, when Jesus came, when God sent his only begotten Son,
mm-hmm.
is when God had was giving all of his children, and it was in the beginning. It was just to his children of Israel. They were given the opportunity to repent, and they didn't. So it became null and void. In 1948, Israel became a nation. That is the beginning of the generation of the fig tree.
Mm-hmm.
When the good figs and the bad figs are set loose, and that is when Jesus says, this generation shall not pass mm-hmm. until all these things come to pass. And I, the one thing I would like to comment on, and I don't mean to sound disrespectful, but I don't go to a church. I don't study with teachers, Christian teachers, those who profess mm-hmm. to be teachers.
Mm-hmm.
I know I just know what I know, so
okay.
I just needed to share that.
Yeah,
thank
that's
you,
fine. That's fine.
Bye-bye.
We appreciate your input, and Gene is not personally talking about you. He's making a generic statement to people in general. Right, Gene?
Yes, the state of Israel, does not fulfill any prophecy in 1948. That's not the regathering of Israel. Even the rabbinate of Orthodox mm-hmm. Judaism says it is not. And, of course, those people over there are not Israelites that
right.
run that state. They are the people of Cain, not the people of Israel.
But we do have that generation.
I'm saying she might not go to any religious organization, but unfortunately she's believing what a lot of lying preachers are saying, nonetheless.
Well, I don't know. I hear her a little bit differently, Gene, to be honest with you, and I think she's on the same wavelength, but I just think that she's coming at it from a slightly different direction. Maybe
yeah,
oversimplifying.
From the Judeo-Christian perspective,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, all right. Okay, fair enough. Let's take another call now, 800-313-9443. John dropped off. We have Joe Church. Hello, Joe.
Hi, Rick. How are you?
It's good.
Hi,
Gene.
Gene. Sorry, Gene.
<Right.
laughs>
Those names are tough to remember.
Oh, geez.
Especially Smith. All right.
And the older
go
you
right
get,
ahead.
The more you forget. Let's see. Job chapter 1, verse
mm-hmm.
7.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. And over in chapter 2, verse 2, and the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in
mm-hmm.
it. And I just have to add, why was he going to and fro in the earth? To catch someone off guard at a weak moment. You see, this is what his job is. His job is to walk to and fro in the earth and to deceive whoever he can In other words, whoever's not prepared for the attack to take place.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, Joel was a good example, I think, of the American people today. And I should say the Christians of the world. Job means persecuted, and he was a righteous man. And you see, the real reason for the problem here was that the father allowed Job to be tempted by Satan. Was the father and Satan had a bet going.
Mm-hmm.
And Satan said to the father, he says, if you take that wall of protection away from that you have, I'll make him curse you to your face. And the father says, not my boy Job, you're on. He says, the only thing you can't do is take his life, over in chapter 2, verse 6. So he did everything he could to him. And he cursed everything but the father. Cursed his birthday, cursed everything else. And, you see, this was a righteous man. So I think that even today we see Satan's children in the earth today. And people, a lot of people see how Satan is protected,
mm-hmm.
How the Father has protected Satan's children today. And our people look, our Christian brothers and sisters look at this as a form of God's blessing in ordaining them. And in a sense, he is, but he's more protecting them to fulfill the negative part. You see, Satan was fulfilling the negative part here. And also, his children that are in the earth today that we refer to as the Kenites, they're in the earth today too. And our people are just not sharp enough to understand the difference between a Kenite that has this negative job to do and a true Judahite.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the issue. They're actually chasing after and worshiping their correction rod,
mm-hmm.
what Satan and his children are today.
Uh-huh.
They're worshiping the correction rod that the Father has placed to walk to and fro in the earth. And they walk to and fro in the earth. And, of course, they are preparing that temple that their father will be received in Jerusalem. You remember Jesus said, he said, destroy this temple and I will raise it up in 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
You see, this is the true temple. He was referring to himself. His body was the temple.
Mm-hmm.
So any temple other than his body that's raised up in Jerusalem in the last day is not the Jesus that we worship,
mm-hmm.
as the Father, the Son, and the Holy
that's
Spirit.
That's for sure, yeah, yep.
And you have to have your facts and information so that you won't be deceived.
Well, I think there'll be many, though, Joe, that will be deceived.
There will be many.
In fact, the whole world is deceived, the Scripture says.
Well, it says in Romans, it says, I have reserved to myself 7,000 that shall not bow a knee to the image of Baal. That's not that large a number.
Hmm. Yeah.
You know, 7,000 or 7,000.
Mm-hmm.
It's right at that final moment, you know, Satan's going to be a looker. His job is to deceive in the end times.
Yep. And boy, we are hearing a lot of deception today, aren't we, from the churches particularly and the governments.
Well, Satan does his best work in the pulpits of this country and the Christian churches of the world.
I think Gene would find that to be quite true, huh, Gene?
Yes, you know, God does his work through his Christian church, which are made up of human beings, and Satan does his deceptive work through his children, who are human beings also, from him and our mother Eve, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just that human religious organizations are promoting this pagan sun worship from ancient Babylon, of Revelation 17, the mystery Babylon, and also Judaism, which is one of the harlots. And that is what's deceived the entire world.
Mm-hmm.
That's how Satan has deceived the entire world, as Revelation chapter 12, verse 9 says, through his children and through this pagan sun worship that unfortunately Roman Catholicism adopted as Christianity. Now, that's just a fact, and a lot of people don't like me to say that, but that's a fact that can be proven.
Right.
And so, you see, we have to get away from all of these religious institutions that call themselves Christians.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to get away from these Judeo-Christian preachers.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to go to the Bible, study the Bible ourselves, as 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says to do. Study to show yourself approved unto God, right and divine, the word of truth. That's for each and every individual Christian to do. And let the Bible correct us. Let the Bible interpret itself, including the prophecies of the Bible.
Jesus said, I am.
I've tried to show in this program how the Bible interprets its own prophecies,
yes,
even.
That's
but you have to know some history to know how those prophecies are fulfilled.
That's the key, is the history. Yes, Joe?
Jesus said, I am the temple. You're at the temple you want to get into.
Yeah, right.
He is the temple.
That's right.
Are you sure you gentlemen don't want to put on a couple of ties and suits and maybe some vestments and, and pass the basket?
You could make a lot of money, Vic.
Well, you could make a lot of money.
Yeah.
But then again, you'd have to give up your soul, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I'd have, that's right. That's right. I'd have to give my soul.
All right. Thank you, Joe. And
okay,
Gene, stay where you are. We'll be back with more and your address and phone number as well. Rick Adams, stay tuned.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Attention gardeners! If you've ever wanted to grow the absolute best-tasting fruits and vegetables imaginable, well, here's exciting news. There's a new product called ProtoGrow, and it's dynamite in the garden. ProtoGrow is a bioactive superfood for plants. It works by providing true broad-spectrum nutrition, allowing plants to achieve their full genetic expression. So what does this mean in the garden? It means mouth-watering fruits and vegetables, brilliantly colored flowers, herbs that finally grow to medicinal strength, blue ribbon garden produce jam-packed with bioavailable minerals and trace elements, giant pumpkins, even high-potency Hybrix wheatgrass. ProtoGrow is a proprietary blend of full-spectrum nutrients from the sea. It literally contains the basic building blocks of life itself. In fact, ProtoGrow is so effective at producing rapid plant growth in record time that it almost forces plants to grow even under the worst light and soil conditions. To grow tasty fruits and vegetables right now, go to growlikecrazy.com or call 877-327-0365.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
The New World Order thought police are on the run.
because Rick Adams is back on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
All right, not much time, and what I want you to do, Gene, we have a couple of quick calls, but Gene, people who want to reach you other than your website, BibleTruthMan.com, can either call you or write to you at your street address, I suppose, or post office address?
Well, they can phone me also.
Yeah.
I'm not an untouchable like a lot of these preachers are.
Sure.
You can phone me at 817 area code 483-1485. That's 817 area code 483-1485. I have a lot of literature and cassette tapes I can send them. I just send them and I rely on donations. I don't charge for anything I send out. Also, you can write me at P.O. Box 201, P.O. Box 201, Scurry, Texas, a little town south of Dallas. I used to live there, and I still have a P.O. Box there. S-C-U-R-R-Y, S-C-U-R-R-Y, Texas. Mm-hmm. The zip is 75158. The zip is 75158. And all of this address and phone number is on my website, BibleTruthMan.com.
Okay. Now, we have John, I believe, in Texas that wanted to clarify the Iraqi museum situation first. Hello, John.
Hey.
Yes. Hi.
You know what? I just want to comment on the special, on the museum thing. I'm a Navy SEAL, and I've been woken up about a year ago.
Uh-huh.
I've been in over 20 years, and I have to say that we went in and secured that area, but when we got there, a lot of stuff was already gone. It was already taken. We got there a little bit too late. Now, there was a lot of things still left in there. Did I know what I was seeing? Did I witness a lot of things or understand what I was seeing? Not all of it, but a lot of stuff was taken and sold. So the commander in charge, I know, saying that we're securing the museum and we're protecting it, but a lot of things was taken and
mm-hmm.
sold off.
Right, we knew that, yep.
And I don't know where it all went because, of course, I'm just a soldier doing my job, but
yeah.
I do know that a lot of stuff was initially taken. After that, I do know a lot of stuff when we were there, people would come by and things were sold off.
Mm-hmm.
So what exactly was in there, I don't know. I didn't get to see it all, and I'm upper level management. But even those people were sealed off. So I don't know if that clarified the other one.
Sure,
call earlier.
Yeah. I appreciate you calling in to say that, and you were there. And it's good that you're finally, your eyes have been opened, too. Thank you, John, for that. Appreciate
you're welcome. Thank
that
you very
much.
Much.
Okay, one quick call from Steve right now in Oklahoma. Hello, Steve.
About Joe's comments, according to Job, the book, Job didn't have exactly the kind of faith God wanted him to have, but he did near the end of the book, although mm-hmm. he was a somewhat devout man, about the European Union being the resurrected kind of spiritual resurrection of the original Roman Empire. I'd like to hear Gene's comments on
that. The revived
Roman
Empire.
Yes, I'd like to
hear
Gene's comments.
Okay, Gene, quickly.
Well, I don't go for this European Union being anything that's in prophecy, really. North America, we're all under the Roman system, that's run by the children of Satan, the devil now, the people of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 9, and Revelation chapter 3 and verse 9. That's where we are, and these people want to rule a revived Roman Empire, you might say, from Jerusalem. They want to rule the world from Jerusalem in a revived Roman Empire. But we're living. We're living with the Roman Empire system right now in Europe and North America.
Okay.
But a revived Roman Empire is going to attack America is just not prophecy
Gene
at all.
Gene Smith, we're out of time. Thank
all
you
right.
for the call, and we'll do it again, brother. Thank you, Gene. Good night. Now we'll be back tomorrow night with our special guest, Gary Rugman. Okay. Good night, everyone. Rick Adams. Good night.
A message.